The word lightly in our text, at least in the ESV version, immediately indicates to us that the theme we are now about to consider is serious. It is not light, but serious. The subject is receiving discipline from our Lord. So he says, verse 5 here, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord." Now we need to buckle our seatbelts for a fast and somewhat bumpy ride. No one likes to go to the woodshed for a whipping. No one even likes to think about it, especially when you know it's coming and you're the thought waiting for that moment. With due soberness, we need to study this text to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen without shame. And this work has a great goal: to equip ourselves for every good work set before us in running the race of our lives from here to glory. Accordingly, our topic for today, and this is just how I've titled it, Receiving Discipline from Our Lord. And there are three things in this text to help us gain the right perspective on this serious matter. One, the form discipline takes. Two, the truth discipline teaches. And three, the response discipline elicits. So let's look at each one of those and take this in with earnestness and prayerfully. First, the form discipline takes. And the text opens with a question: "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" Now, the exhortation he has in mind, that he refers to there, is from the book of Proverbs, which we should read. And so I'm going to read it. I want you to just listen as I read, and you'll see that much of it is right here in Hebrews. But I'm going to read this whole little section, 11 to 15 of Proverbs 3. It's not that long. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding," you know, under discipline. "For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Now, notably, in the use of this quote from that proverb, the writer to the Hebrews shows us that the words of a father to a son in the book of Proverbs are, I find this striking and valuable, the words of God to us as sons and daughters in his family. That's what he's telling the readers then and now. So it's them and us. Let me emphasize that. Of course, we know by the implications of the new humanity in Christ that when he speaks of my son, you have to make the necessary adjustments. He's referring to both sons and daughters, the new family redeemed by the blood of our great high priest. Now, how does this appeal to the Lord's discipline in the book of Proverbs fit into the flow of thought here in the book of Hebrews? It brings this up. And I noticed, you know, when I was reading through this, it's kind of like, first it was like, that seems peculiar. So how does it fit? Well, it enters as part of the larger theme of running the race of your life. You remember? The race that is your life. Running the race for dear life. That's the thought that we've just been working with in 1-4 up there. And you can tell that real quickly by the word weariness. Just notice the word again in verse 3 and then in verse 5. I want to note them. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You know, in, this is still picking up off of that image of running the race. But now in verse 5, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved. He's carrying on the same idea, changing images, you know, working the richness of things. So it's that same theme in a broad, larger sense. So what he's doing is he is coordinating some things. And let's note that, because what you have here is to regard. He says to regard, there's a certain thinking that's to go on, a thinking, an outlook, an uplook in running and in receiving discipline. Put the end in there. That's why there's the conjunction that begins at verse 5. So that's what I found striking, you know. And. You see how he just keeps right on going. And. He continues his subject in a coordinating way with new elements and emphases. Therefore, now this is where we're going to get to the form that discipline takes. We got to take hold of this real hard, real strong. Therefore, the things that the conjunction and places together are the Lord's discipline and the afflictions that go with running the race of the Christian life. This race travels across, remember, the battlefield of sin within and from without. Enemies hostile, from within, clinging. We know that. Thus, we have a profoundly important fact here. There is a conjunction of the Lord's discipline and the afflictions of running the race of our lives where sin clings and sinners contradict. Sin clings to us and sinners contradict us. Both sin and sinners bring afflictions. And the writer tells us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that those afflictions have another dimension to them. There is more than one way to view them. Remarkably, those afflictions that we experience from within and from without come from the hand of God in discipline. That is why the transition from running the race in 12:1-4 to receiving discipline in 12:5-11 is so smooth and natural. And it is as if the author is simply continuing the theme of the race. Well, in a very real sense, he is continuing the theme of the race with changing analogies and images. You can expect discipline, then, just as an athlete. Remember, this is an athlete on the battlefield, running through the battlefield, a mix of images. Expect discipline just as an athlete on the battlefield must receive correction. I mean, there's no good athlete that doesn't get there and maintain his pace without correction. Discipline. Thus, when you suffer affliction because of opposition to the gospel that you live and proclaim, two things are at work at once. Sinners are against you, sin is against you, and God is for you. When you suffer affliction and are miserable because of the battle of sin that is raging within your heart, more things are at work than one. You struggle with sin, and God is guiding your life. To be even more precise, two things are at work at the same time. You may suffer trial and affliction as a sinner saint seeking to live righteously, And at the same time, that affliction that causes you pain and grief is a rod in the hand of God. These things are not opposed one to the other. Affliction you experience running your race across the battlefield of sin, within and without, is the form that discipline takes. So that's our first point. This is hardly a light theme, and it's not to be taken lightly. We don't have to regard this lightly, are we? Well, let's look at the second major point, the truth that discipline teaches. Although the first glance at the form that discipline takes may be somewhat unsettling, the truth that it teaches is deeply, deeply reassuring. Discipline through affliction on the battlefield of sin is an expression of your Heavenly Father's love for you. We have that truth in bold print, and I'm so glad it is. Look at 6 to 8 in these verses. We just have to take it in from the text. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Now, some of the readers of the book of Hebrews may mistakenly assume, any of us may do this so easily, may mistakenly assume that the trials and tribulations are indicative of a lack of concern for them. Perhaps the Father in heaven doesn't know or care. That type of thought floats in the back of the mind sometimes. If we think that way, we have forgotten. We've forgotten the lesson of the book of Proverbs. Discipline comes to the sons and daughters he loves, and chastening comes to the children he receives. Thus, in verse 7, he says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. You know, like, think about what the way that language is stated. It is for discipline that you have to endure. The Lord is teaching this firm truth in those words. The call to endure afflictions on your journey is for discipline. What's that mean? It's these afflictions are for discipline. That is, it is for your correction. It is corrective discipline. It comes in little ways and comes in big ways. It comes in little things, it comes in big things. It's corrective discipline. Clearly and powerfully, we are to see affliction as designed for discipline from the hand of a loving Father. To make this patently clear, and that's what's interesting in this text as I've been working with this, the writer makes this patently clear by adding a statement, a question, and a statement. So let's just watch this. All this is going to emphasize the point. Statement, question, statement. Here's the first statement. He says, God is treating you as sons. That's in verse 7b. This means that you are to receive afflictions on the battlefield of sin within and from the enemies without in this fallen world. You are to receive them with a view to the role they play in God's providence, namely the role of disciplinary treatment of a father toward his children. The Lord calls you to receive hardships as signs of his love for you and of your sonship and daughtership to him. That fact needs to ring in your ears at the dawn of tribulations and trials. That's a statement. Then he gives a question, presents a question. Verse 7, in the middle there, or at the end there, verse, I call it 7c. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? What son is there? whom his father doesn't discipline. Obviously, the assumption here is that the father is a loving father. You can understand certain things are at work here. In the case of a home with a loving father, what son would there be that lived under his father's loving care without discipline? Well, the nature of children is such, and the love of fathers is such, that no son under the umbrella of such love will be without discipline. So straightforward, isn't it? All the children who belong to the family of a loving father will receive discipline. See, it's all have participated. It is so vital in the family that corrective discipline is a virtual mark of sonship, childship before God. So he has a statement, then a question, then another statement. I think it's the nature. This is a sobering theme. It's not to be taken lightly. So he's really just kind of pounding this nail, really nailing this thing. And he gives another statement. Notice verse 8. The writer goes on to drive this home by saying, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So any who are outside of the discipline are outside of the family. So that's the point. All true sons and daughters experience afflictions from within and from without. But, and this is emphatic, these afflictions ultimately come from above. This is so much the case that those who do not receive chastening by these means are not sons and daughters. They're illegitimate and do not belong to the family of God. Now, you know, they may profess to belong, but they do not belong. Discipline is integral in a process of learning and schooling. When we go through the school of suffering, our Lord is teaching us many things. But first, he would have us know that discipline is the manifestation of the love of God. That is the great lesson that discipline teaches. You need this lesson then to go on and learn all the other lessons in the afflictions of life, whether they are little or whether they are large. You need this truth. That's the truth that discipline teaches, plus many truths that flow from that. Now, you know, we've talked about the form that it takes, the afflictions of life that we face because of our sins within us, clinging to us, and because of the battle of sin without, running the race across that battlefield. And we've talked about the truth that it teaches us that God, through these means, this is the fallen world, he's saving us out from our sin, taking us on to glory, so therefore, that's the context from which we are being moved, and therefore, the afflictions are there. And the truth it teaches us is that he is a loving father, taking us from sin unto glory, you know. Well, third and then is the response discipline elicits. Now, once you remember and do not forget these basics about discipline, then you will respond properly as loving children of your Heavenly Father. The loving response that discipline elicits is threefold. There are three things he mentions here of the loving response and how we receive discipline. First, you will respond with thoughtful reflection. This is back to 12b. You will heed the fatherly admonition, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. When you experience trial, pain, and suffering on your journey through life, it is most important that you think about it properly and acknowledge what it is. You are to view these things in truth as discipline from your loving Heavenly Father. That means that you are quick to acknowledge your sinfulness in general and your sins in particular. You are a work in progress, a son or daughter under loving correction. The process is a remedy for sin in heart and life. Acknowledgement is a critical first step. So do not forget. You need refresher courses in the subject of discipline. That's why, you know, the Proverbs has it, but the writer of Hebrews comes back to it. It's repeated in Scripture more places than one. So if you're a loving child, here's the right response, right? You will respond with thoughtful reflection. Second, you will respond with enduring reception. The Lord admonishes us further, saying, nor be weary when reproved, I'll insert here, by me. Nor be weary when reproved by me. The idea here is that we guard against the quitter syndrome. Under reproof, you may say, well, here comes another correction. Will I ever get it right? I might as well throw in the towel. I never get it right. Well, the right perspective on discipline is to look at Christ. See, and then you know, well, you know, I'm getting it right more and more. I'm heading to glory. I'm not going to have it right to glory, but you have a whole different attitude when you look at Christ. But watch this image. It said, look at Christ. You know, we'll look at that verse again. Consider him. But look at Christ and notice his right hand. Notice what he holds in his right hand. He has a rod in his right hand. So see the rod in his hand, and that is the way to avoid weariness. As we learned in 12:3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary. So whether the discipline comes from without, he knew that. He didn't have any sin within him, but he knew what sin was because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, suffering for our sins. And death in love for us. Now he's the one that holds the rod in his hand. Just to change the image a little bit. The Father's hand. He talks about we're his children. The images mix. We're his brother and sister. We're his children, his sons and daughters. So enduring reception. Endure. Nor be weary when reproved. Endure. Looking at Christ, considering Christ. And then third, your loving response will be respectful submission. He says this, look at verse 9. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. If you show respect to earthly fathers, how much more ought you to receive the discipline of your Father in heaven, who is perfect in his love and power and wisdom. After all, he is the author of life, the writer tells us, you know, the Father of spirits. He's the author of life, body and spirit. That's a way of saying he's the author of life in the wholeness of us, of what we are as body and spirit. He's the author of life. You receive discipline from him, you're receiving discipline from the one who is the author of your very life in its totality. What better one to receive discipline from? Earthly fathers make many mistakes. Our Heavenly Father makes no mistakes. Moreover, you are being trained in holiness by it, so do not rebel against it. This is like the training that children receive. The wise child will learn from the discipline. It is correcting discipline that leads to improvement of life. Earthly fathers exercise this discipline with mistakes and misjudgment, and even with selfishness at times. But a wise son or daughter receives the discipline, learns, and profits. Like we read, the words that connect with discipline in Proverbs, and similar to that, Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 23. Listen to Proverbs 23. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. It may be painful, but he's not going to die. It may sound like it. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Now listen to this. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. As wise reception of discipline pleases an earthly father, I mean, no more. I know that as an experience, as a pleasing thing, and disciplining a son who receives it. You know what it is when they don't receive it, and how pleasing it is when they receive your discipline. Painful it is for you to give it, but as that pleases an earthly father, likewise respectful submission pleases your heavenly Father. All right, those are the three major hooks for today. And, you know, the form that discipline takes, afflictions within and without, running a race across the battlefield of sin. And the truth that it teaches, love, reassuring love of our Heavenly Father. And then, as we mentioned here, the response that it elicits. So that leads to these conclusions. And in a word, let me just frame it like this by saying, in a word, receive discipline from your Lord thoughtfully, enduringly, and respectfully. You can do this when you have the right perspective on disciplinary afflictions that you receive from our Lord. This is important, so we should review some things that give encouragement. I want to review a little bit to encourage this experience, to encourage you in this experience of receiving discipline by affliction. So I have two main things I want to stress. First, you gain encouragement by considering and regarding and thinking this through a lot. The Father's goal. Think about the Father's goal. You know, if children would do that when we get out the belt, you know, they think about, they just get their mind on the goal. Well, we're to think about the goal. Discipline is a heavy topic. This text is vitally important for us. It has many very important lessons. It is a firm wake-up call, a call to attention and alert. Mark it down with indelible ink. Discipline has the Father's goal of your good. That, mark it down, that is the case. Your growth in holiness to image Him more and more for His glory, that is the goal the Father has in using the rod. Listen to 12:10 again. They disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He, our Father in heaven, disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness. The one who is holy, holy, holy. Granted, disciplinary afflictions may hurt. So to read verse 11 now. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. You don't even need that other rather in a way, but it's really stressing, isn't it? Painful rather than pleasant. Everybody knows it's not pleasant, it's painful. But later, it yields like, you know, like planting and crops growing up. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline is a correcting and a training, like the training of the athlete, corrected, and the training that goes into to a warrior for the battlefield. There's training for the race to run across the battlefield. Well, those who are trained by it have a peaceful fruit of righteousness. You know, it reminds me of that song, if I could catch it right, the sweet Amen of peace. What brings the sweet Amen of peace? Holiness brings the sweet Amen of peace. Well, it hurts for a time, but it's for your good. The pain is how it takes hold of you, right? The gain from her, from wisdom, is better than silver and gold. Now, I've got to read this Proverbs 3 again. And this is again, connects with discipline. So you got to just remember that, even though I'm not going to go to the earlier verses. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. This is in the context of discipline. And the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, that's from wisdom, is better than from silver and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her. That's what the wisdom you receive from discipline. You need wisdom going into it, and you receive riches, pearls and diamonds of riches in it. So remarkably, nothing you desire in all of life, nothing you desire can compare in value with the wisdom and understanding that you gain from discipline. Now these are good words for us to understand. So I think that's encouraging. You know, look at the Father's goal. Keep your mind on that. It's encouraging. It's a way to kind of pick up on what we've been doing in there. The second encouragement is this. You gain encouragement to face affliction in these ways, this context, by considering the Father's loving care. Let me just amplify a little bit. The pain is not pleasant, but it is temporary. Amen to the fact that it is selective, planned, and proportioned for your good, according to the plan of God and your place in it. You know, with all the gifts and that you have been given, and the purpose God has for your life, the race He set before you to run, the good works that are in front of you to do, according to all of that, His plan, He proportions out the discipline. He doesn't use the rod for every single sin that we do. Sometimes our sins are the rod. He allows us sin and afflicts us, and that's the rod. That's the battle within. And He doesn't afflict us for every sin. He uses the rod with wise discretion. It's temporary, it's pointed, it's planned, it's apportioned, it's for our good. Your Father is acting in loving kindness toward you. The writer to the Hebrews gives you encouragement by pointing you to the Father's love in bringing these things upon you. Notice my language in that. They come from my sin within. They come from the enemy without. They come from above, from the Father. We just have to hold all these things together. It's true. The writer to the Hebrews gives you encouragement, notably telling you that the Father allows each affliction that hits you. What He allows is His decision to allow it. In other words, it is His plan and His purpose to allow it. It's that plan and purpose that is coming to realization in all the events of your lives. He controls all things. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He works all things together for your good. Romans 8:28. Now, part of the way to see this is to note that you will learn the lessons He is determined to teach you. Also note that sometimes you may learn them the hard way as a rebellious child who refuses to be trained by discipline. What you may do is make your life and your trials harder, more intense, more difficult by failing to receive training from them. Many trials will end as soon as you come to terms with them and learn the lessons the Lord has there for you. Some people keep running away from one problem after another, never learning the lesson, only to face more problems because they've never learned the lesson from the previous problems. The problems are rods for the Lord's people to teach us and give us training. We need to not regard that lightly, but get the lessons. Sanctification, growing in holiness and righteousness, is a process that goes hand in hand with the perfecting of your faith. 12:2 earlier. The Lord authors your faith and perfects it. We're talking here about the perfecting part of that. Both will be accomplished in fulfillment of the Father's plan. As the Lord carries this through to completion, He is showing you His love. You need to quickly learn that fact. Learn the fact that discipline is a sign of your childship to God. He loves His sons and daughters. That is why He uses the chastening rod. He loves you, and therefore His love leads to your growth in holiness, peace, and righteousness, each more valuable than all earthly things. Well, those are just two ways. I may want to kind of think I will maybe have a part two on this passage next week because of it. There's so many things. I took a whole couple of pages and just deleted it from the sermon. And I guess that's just part of trying myself not to take this lightly and look at this some more. But let me close with this benediction. We can also talk a little bit more later during the teaching hour on this if you would like. But may we, may we fall down before the majesty of our loving Heavenly Father in heartfelt acknowledgement of our sinfulness and sins. May the Holy Spirit teach us that we are sons and daughters being trained in holiness by corrective discipline. May the Lord Jesus enable us to gain priceless and incomparable wisdom by receiving discipline thoughtfully, enduringly, and respectfully from the hand of our Sovereign Lord. To the Triune God be all glory forever. Amen. Well, let's look to the Lord at this time for prayer, and we have mentioned